Welcome back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Bear Blues. I'm the one, P Shark, with the guys.
What's going on, y'all? I'm the shooting guard. If the Grizzlies need a free agent target, I'm your boy @_Scully on Twitter.
Yeah, this your guy Trev, man. Fresh home from Michigan. Just got done collabing with Rip Hamilton on how to come off these screens. So I'm officially coming off these screens now. No more just a corner guy. So what's good, everybody?
That's what's up, man. I actually been practicing with Stan Van Gundy in my crossover. This is cheating, nonetheless. And been working on that big man crossover in the post.
What's up, y'all? Tev Shakir, and you know, my boy Trev is coming off the screens. I'm the one sent him, so it is what it is. We opening up the offense. But you just say you working with Stan Van Gundy with your crossover? We not letting that one slide. No. We not letting that one slide.
Man, watch the tape back in 2000. Was that 9 or 10 with the Magic? Oh, he had it. Like as a coach, though, of course.
Now as a player. He had that one, too. I get on that.
I'm done. I mean, I guess if he can make Jameer Nelson an all-star, anything possible, but it is what it is.
Hey, Tev, you met John Morant yesterday, didn't you?
I did, bro. Hey, I did. That was cool. I work at Oasis, and he pulled up, with his pops, his whole entourage. So shout out to them. Cool as hell. Taller than expected, but, I met all my favorite players. Now I'm good.
That's what's up. You should have told him to give me some pointers for the point guard position for this podcast, because apparently I ain't doing it right with Steph Van Gundy teaching crossovers.
I mean, that's just one opinion, bro. You're doing a great job.
Fine, man. He's a big man, and I'm a big man, too, so I just feel like, we could collab a little bit better. That's all.
All right, man. Remember to follow us on Twitter at the Starting Five, the number 5, MEM. Follow Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies, and listen to the other podcasts on the network that includes Core 4, 3&D, and GBB Live. But first up today, about to continue this free agent talk. As I said on the last podcast, y'all need to follow grizzlybearblues.com. They've been writing pieces on all certain free agent targets as well as draft targets, which we will get into on the next episode because our next episode will be the last episode before our last episode before the NBA draft takes place in November. So going today, the last 9 free agent targets that they talked about or wrote pieces about are Myers Leonard from the Miami Heat, Sterling Brown from the Milwaukee Bucks, Denzel Valentine from the Chicago Bulls, Brian Ford from the San Antonio Spurs, Juan Hernan Gomez from Minnesota, Harry Giles from Sacramento, Glenn Robinson III from Philly, Wes Matthews from Milwaukee, and Wayne Ellington from the New York Knicks. Of those 9 targets, what names interest you
or name?
Yeah. Shooting guard.
For me, it was only 2 names that kind of just really just stuck out. One of them being, if I only had one player to choose from, the person I would look at is Wes Matthews. I think this team kind of needs like some form of veteran leadership. I think Wes Matthews could kind of give you what we were trying to get out of Mr. Crowder or Mr. Solomon Hill last year that we kind of missed in the bubble. So, which is that 3&D guy, somebody that can be vocal in the locker room to kind of settle things down when things may go awry, things like that. So Wesley Matthews, I just look, he's close to a 40% 3-point shooter for his career. Like I said, he's a veteran leader and just be like that wing defender. I think that's one of the things that he's mostly known for in his career, whether that be with the Portland Trailblazers and what he just did most recently with the Milwaukee Bucks. So Wes Matthews would be option number 1 for me. Then Glenn Robinson, III, I think would be the next option for me. As I went through that list, none of the names just really popped out. None of the names kind of stood out for me. So I just think 3&D is kind of the norm for the NBA. Is kind of what a lot of teams or GMs are looking for these days. So those are the 2 names that kind of stood out to me.
Well, for me, I kind of would echo those sentiments with Wesley Matthews and Glenn Robinson III. If I was just to go different a little bit as far as like 3 and D and just provide just maybe a big that actually can play big and actually can provide some kind of punch off the bench, I would look at Harry Giles. I understand what we have currently with Jonas and Gorgui Jang coming off the bench. I just feel that with Giles is a nice little prospect for Sacramento. I mean, he's probably one of the few bright spots there, especially with everything going on with that franchise. But just like as a nice young talent that can come off the bench, probably give you 8 to 10 points, 8 to 10 rebounds, possibly off the bench. So, you know, those extra possessions are definitely going to be key, especially going forward for the Grizz. Obviously, the first and second choice would be Wes Matthews and Glenn Robinson III, because we definitely need some on the perimeter in that 3-and-D category. But if we were just looking just to get a big that we can get for a decent amount, a decent price or whatever, as opposed to what we're paying Gorgui right now, Harry Giles would be a nice addition.
And as you just said, you went a little different. Trevor, I also will go a little different as well. I hope that the Wesley Matthews price tag is not too expensive for us. Thinking about what he did, not only with, like you said, Skylar, with what he just did with Milwaukee, which I think he provided some excellent defense, especially with Giannis going down. He showed improved also with the Pacers as well. And of course, where he got his contract from with Portland. I think someone that we can get like for the low, because I feel like he's just weighing away, is Wayne Ellington. Out of 11 years, he's had double-digit points, six of those 11 years. He's really in New York, just he's wasting away. And that's a guy that could just come off the bench. He can be cold. He can be hot. He's going to shoot it. And we do need some type of offense to come off the bench. If I match your intensity when it comes to big, I would actually go Miles Leonard. I think his price tag would actually be a little bit lower than perceived. I've saw what he's done with Miami. He started almost every game during the regular season, but then find spots in the playoffs during the bubble, which, you know, it's rhythmatic. It's fine. I don't think Miami would have won or lost with him playing. But I think he's a good force in the paint. He can step out and shoot the three if necessary, as we saw within the finals, actually, when Bam went down, when we had to put Miami Pete put Miles in as a starter, and he spread the four, him and Kelly Olynyk, which would be huge and helpful for Ja Morant as he's cutting down to the Cole, and, you know, even Triple J as well, just to expand the floor a little bit. So I'm going to go different. Again, I think Wayne Ellington, I think, is going to be a great choice, especially for a low price. And I think Miles Leonard gives us a great option off the bench. And if needed, clearly, he can also has been proven as a starter within this league.
Great analysis by all of y'all, for sure. Y'all definitely said that if I had to pick a player, y'all definitely said him. If I had to pick three players, y'all said him. But that one player would definitely be Wes Matthews. When you look at the kind of team that the Grizz have, we can definitely use more veteran leadership. But when you look at the shooting guard position, we have, you know, Dylan Brooks, and then we have De'Anthony Melton, who may get, you know, overpaid to leave somewhere else. So you would need somebody that can come off the bench, play good defense, and, you know, give a good 10, 12 points a game. You get that, and the Grizz is look a lot better. Like, if, let's say for this instance, for this playoffs, if you would have had Wesley Matthews, that's, like I said, 12, 15 points off the bench that would have definitely helped us, you know, with our run. So good analysis on y'all for that. Wayne Ellington, that's somebody I've liked. You know, he was once upon the Grizz. He's what, I think like 13 years in the league. So he's, of course, a little bit older, but the Grizz have a good job, and they do a good job of getting older players and, you know, extending their careers, because this is a city that you can love to play for. When you look at guys like Solomon Hill, you know, and a Jang, you know. And Trev, good point talking about Harry Giles. You know, that was a big that if I wanted to go out and get, you know, a look at, you know what I'm saying, he's a Duke product, so we do have a habit of going to get good Duke products. He's a good defender, you know, he's a great rebounder. Even though those rebounders numbers can be a little bit better, he doesn't get a lot of playing time. So I think if you put him in with a Jaren Jackson, I think their games are kind of different, which would be in a good way, because Jaren Jackson, of course, we want him to get his rebounding up, but if he can put more focused on scoring the ball, I think that'll help us down the long run with the Grizzlies.
Nice, nice, nice choices. I'm going to go off the rails for a minute. Since we're paying Deion Waiters $12 million next season, hey, we might as well sign him.
Oh, wow. A champion, by the way.
He is a champion. He brings championship pedigree.
NBA champion Deion Waiters. We might as well put that on there.
But to be for real, though. Harry Giles did interest me. That was a target that came kind of out of left field. But seeing that he's 22, 6'10", 7'3", wingspan, you know, he was a top recruit going to college. Injuries has been where in college he had like a knee injury. Oh, yeah, I don't think did he even play at Duke? Or he barely played?
Yeah, he barely played at Duke because of his
that knee.
Probably like a handful of games.
Yeah, so he was, like I said, he's very intriguing. That's a young, intriguing prospect that you can get for the low that could turn out to be a bargain and, you know, be real good down the line. But to help out now, Glenn Robinson III really piqued my interest. He's still relatively young and, like I said, kind of like a 3-and-D player who I think can mesh with the young team and also give valuable minutes. But based on the Twitter polls, Harry Giles was the only one that the fans voted that they would like the Grizz to sign him. He was the only yes. The closest nose, Brian Forbes from San Antonio, a lot of people voted for him if DeAnthony Melton is gone.
Yeah, I can see that too.
That's a good. I like that too. If DeAnthony Melton is gone, the next closest one was Glenn Robinson III. I think the no's were 51% to yes, 48%. So,
where's Mayor Leonard on that?
Where's Leonard? Let me get to that. 66% no.
Interesting. Okay.
Makes sense. He couldn't get off the bench for his current team.
Hey, man, Heat fans, y'all take it away.
Giles one is a sneaky. It's sneaky because you get him on a bargain. He's basically got block work and basically can bang. And it's like having him on the floor with Jaren could be crucial. Now we won't have to worry so much about Jaren's rebounds without Harry Giles in there. Somebody. Then you have two guys who can protect the rim as well. So you can't get mad. You can't be opposed to that as well. So
He's a possible future. Like, you're thinking your long-term starting center, you might get him this offseason with him, so that's just a potential aspect that I do like about him. Right. We just got done with the GBB mock draft, fellas. Me too.
How was that for those that took part in the GBB?
A headache. headache in one word.
I mean, just listening to the deals y'all had proposed on the table during this draft, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. Sheeta, how you feel about it?
Yeah, like, I know it like happened all throughout the day, but it was like, yo, I'm at work. Like, I can't accept this trade. I don't even feel it. Like, I think it was like, first of all, what Joe put together was amazing. And he did that all over. So kudos to Joe for that and getting us together. But man, that was, to your point, to a headache, right? If I'm trying to trade for this person, that person getting denied my trade, man, how you gonna tell the GM of the team? And both GMs agree on the trade, but then the trade committee says, oh, you mean Chris Paul?
Don't forget the Twitter poll afterward.
Pass
the trade committee.
And then for me, man, I had the Warriors, right? So y'all know the one player I was going after, right? Mm-hmm. So the top pick, he ended up trading with the third pick and picking James Wiseman, who I wanted. That was number one. For number two, if there were any trades we had to make the financials work, that was even more of a headache. So
speaking of that, Justin Lewis for GBB, he had the number one pick with Minnesota. He traded down to 3 to pick Obi Toppin. You know, you had 3 hours to make your pick. He was at basketball practice. whatever, because he's a basketball coach. He didn't pick in time, so I auto picked Anthony Edwards. So he didn't get who he wanted to pick.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of interesting. Here's my thing. If he really wanted to be top, why not just take him at one? If that's what he really wanted.
He probably got some stock out that first pick.
Yeah, I forgot the actual trade.
Okay, I was like, what was the trade? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, let me check.
Because it couldn't have just been a pick swap.
Yeah, it was number three. He got number three and PJ Washington. And he sent number one and Amari Spellman.
Oh.
Which PJ Washington was a lottery pick last year, so I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he knew Obi Toppin wasn't going third, second. He just. I don't know. That wouldn't be a bad pick for Golden State, though, if James Wiseman happened to be gone.
Obi Toppin?
Yeah.
I had a choice, but I chose LaMelo. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get a possible great playmaker with Steph and Clay on the wings. You can package Draymond and Andrew Wiggins for something. You know what I'm saying? And it was rumors, and there are still rumors that the Warriors may go after Dwight Howard. So it's like, we need a center.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Well, I had the San Antonio Spurs, so when it got to my pick at number 11, I tried to trade DeMar DeRozan, got rejected by the trade committee. So I had to keep him staying intact, pretty much. Kept my number 11 pick, and with my choice, everybody joked I was taking Isaac Okoro. I thought about him. It was between him, Precious Achiuwa, and who I ended up taking, R.J. Hampton.
R.J. Hampton, yep.
I like that pick.
Great pick.
I like it.
Figure him and DeJounte Murray could play together. Heard R.J. Hampton's been working on his shot. So, hey, I tried to make a real Spurs-like move. And my second round pick, I had actually got a trade to actually go through. The Clippers person guy had sent the trade offer. Got me a future second and swap seconds. And Terrence Mann was included in it. He came to the Spurs as well. So I went from 41 down to 57. And I took none other, and this made me feel very old, Kenyon Martin Jr.
He's a trail?
Yes.
Damn,
Kenyon Martin Jr. Schuyler. Kenyon Martin Jr.
We are officially getting old.
Sheedy, what you do with Philly, though?
I should have threw him away. when I first got Philly, I said, oh my God, this is not the team that God has cursed me with, Joe.
I tried to help you.
You did, and I tried to make them. I made Elton Brand-ish moves as the 76ers GM. And so I'll just talk about the draft that I got, and then I'll talk about the trades. I got the center. I can't remember what pick I was late. I think my 21st, maybe, or later. I'm going to butcher his name. The center from Kansas, 7-footer.
Azubuike.
Yeah, his first name. Azubuike. And yeah, he's not the best, you know, when it comes to offense, but as just a rim protector, someone to spell out Joel in times, worked for me. Also got the guard in second round, Peyton Pritchard.
Oregon.
Yeah, from Oregon. Pac-10 product. Is he going to shoot? Is he going to make it? Not all the time, but some type of offense there. Now, some trades that I was really excited for, but didn't get the trades I really wanted. I got Al Horford's monster contract off, but I received another monster contract from it. But I'll take it, right? I pretty much traded Al Horford, Zaire Smith, and Matisse Thybulle, which Savage would hate for me to do that, along with a first round pick. I traded for Mike Muscala and Chris Paul.
I see you.
And what that did was I was opening up the floodgates to get rid of Ben Simmons. And so he didn't get rid of, I still have him, and I was ready to trade him at least up until draft time for us. But I like that pick, and I also traded one of my picks because there's plenty of picks from 76ers for guard Reggie Bullock. So I got him as well from the, I don't even know what to call that New York team. The Knicks, I think.
That team in New York, just call them that.
Yeah, the New Yorkers. But, you know, I kept Josh Richardson. I still got Tobias Harris, Joel. Like, I like what I did offensively and defensively. I actually would have just got rid of Ben Simmons and traded some more. So I wish you would have told me, Shark, I probably might have traded for DeMar DeRozan, to be honest.
Oh, snap, man. Should have been putting deal together. Spurs would love to have Ben Simmons.
Imagine you was able to get Chris Paul in the deal in the trade that I was proposing immediately after the Thunder were eliminated in the playoffs. Proud of you. Good job.
Yeah. And no more Al Horford, because who is Al Horford?
Exactly. Bye.
And before we move on, a lot of big time players got traded. Brad Beal got traded to New Orleans in a trade that included in the three team deal, as a matter of fact.
Terrible for New Orleans.
Caris LeVert went to Washington in that deal, and Drew Holiday went to Brooklyn in that deal.
I'm getting Bradley Beal, but that's just too much I'm giving up, including Drew Holiday. Like, New Orleans was – that's just me. But keep going.
Yeah, that's a – that ain't it. Jaylen Brown got traded to Houston, and the trade that included James Harden. As a matter of fact, James Harden went to Boston in this trade.
I didn't even see that one.
Yeah, James Harden went to Boston in this trade.
For Jaylen Brown?
Some picks involved with those with the That's my face expression.
And they still sent a list.
I'm trying to process this. Like, where? Like, how does that benefit both teams? Like,
I don't know.
What? These are 2K trades. These are definitely NBA. These are 2K trades when you turn everything off. We turn the trade approval and the salary cap off, and you just make trades and just hope they go through.
Nah, the salary cap's matched, apparently.
They're not matched. You had to
They matched, yeah.
You
have to make the salary cap match, bro.
You had to go past the trade committee and go past the Twitter poll.
It's a mess.
They got passed. Also, Gordon Hayward got traded to Cleveland for Kevin Love, and 2 second-round picks were involved.
Hey, shout out to whoever had Boston, though. They made some moves.
They did.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, but sheesh. That James Harden one, that one kind of hurt.
Oh, like, the Rockets got Miles Turner, and the same deal, they sent Robert Covington back to the Pacers.
Okay, so they did get a big.
Okay. Miles Turner. Okay, so there we go.
All right. Joe had the Memphis Grizzlies. He got TJ McConnell. Well, okay, let me start with the first trade. He sent away Marco Guderic to Sacramento for 2 seconds. And he included that second in their pick along with Marco. He also traded away Kyle Anderson to Boston as well for Romeo Langford. The first Boston's won their first round picks, number 26, and Enes Kanter. Then he turned around and flipped Enes Kanter for TJ McConnell.
Yeah, that low-key revamped the whole roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if I go through all the names. Like, wait a minute, Lord have mercy. Because didn't James Harden get traded to the Celtics to do this trade?
This new Celtics team can have James Harden, Jason Tatum, Marcus Kyle Smart, Anderson. Kyle Anderson, like
Kevin Love,
Kemba Walker still, like
Kemba Walker, the personalities
Marcus
on this
Smart
team,
Theater.
Jesus. That would be a Brad Stevens, a heart attack. This one.
But, yep, those were the notable trades. So, all right, to end out the show, let's talk about these coaching hires. Speaking of Stan Van Gundy, for instance, coaching hires. New Orleans hired Stan Van Gundy this week. Ty Lue was hired by the Clippers. Am I missing anybody?
Something like that. He was a Raptors assistant. He's going to be the coach of the Pacers.
Yep.
So everyone that needed a coach has a coach right now, except Oklahoma City and Houston.
So how y'all feel about the moves? Shooting guard, you go first.
They were all just kind of like, I didn't have a reaction to none of them, I guess. Except like the Pacers one, I have no idea who that guy is. The Ty Lue one, I kind of saw that one coming. For me, it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's Ty Lue and it's the Clippers, right? So it'd be interesting to see what that team looks like. I mean, there are reports coming about like how Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and other players felt about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard getting special treatment, them being able to miss practices, them being able to dictate when they're coming out of the game, things like that. So apparently Ty Lue is the players' coach. Apparently he's going to – I won't say he's a players' coach, but he's going to get – the most out of them, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see what that team looks like going forward. The Stan Van Gundy one, yeah, it's like, yeah, 577 win percentage. It'll be interesting to see exactly like what if he what he can get out of Zion Williams, if he can get him to lose weight, if he can get him to stay on the floor by being able to play defense, which I think those were his two biggest obstacles last year. So we'll see. And then also just what they'll do with Brandon Ingram too, as far as the Pelicans. So interesting. None of them just like I feel like none of those coaching hires like move the needle for any one of those teams.
How about I don't think we discussed Doc Rivers to Philly on here.
Oh, Doc Rivers, you'd be just you'd be fired in 2 years. You'd be fired in 2 years.
Oh man.
I guess I'll go next. I think the one that really kind of just jumped out in a bad kind of way was Stan Van Gundy going to the Pelicans. Of course, we know what he's done previously in Miami and what he's done in Orlando. For those who don't know, like the Pistons are still struggling and still reaping the non-benefits of Stan Van Gundy not only being their coach but also being president of basketball operations. So they're still paying for all the moves that he made there. So for New Orleans to already have the stench of not treating Anthony Davis the way he should have been treated, and then DeMarcus Cousins as well for that matter, and for, of course, to see what's recently happened with Davis with him going to the Lakers and winning the championship. You have a nice little young core with Ball, Ingram, Zion. Of course, you still have Jrue Holiday, which you're probably looking to move at some point. It's interesting to see how it's going to go, but I just really feel that this is really going to cause New Orleans to go back even more. Doc Rivers, that one was laughable because it's like that team is not going to be the same because I think Joel is going to be out of there soon. Where he's going to go, I'm not entirely sure. And then Ty Lue to the Clippers, it's like, how long before Steve Ballmer decides he wants to blow it all up again? That's all that I got to say. Because he came out and said that Lue was the best coach in basketball. I was like, okay, I'm going to bookmark this until the next time the Clippers lose. So when you decide you want to fire everybody and blow it up once again, I'm going to go right back to this tweet. So. That's my take on these coaches, man.
I'll talk, and this is how I feel about the 76ers making that play for Doc Rivers. Silence. Thank you. And moving on.
Hey, you the GM, though. You hired him, yeah.
That's why I don't do fancy drafts, because it wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have hired him with all the money in the world. Anyways.
Right, because you tried with Chris Paul. No, didn't him and Chris Paul not get along?
That's my coach. And so, like, the 76ers, to me, unless they do something, and I think they will do some type of moving within the team itself. Sorry if that's me with the – I can hear myself, but I don't know. Feedback, sorry. But if that's the only move that they make, that they're in trouble as well next season because, again, they don't move the needle to Skyler's point. I think they're the same coach. Doc Rivers doesn't really produce talent. He doesn't make people better. He just inherits teams with players, such as the same person that took his job with the Clippers. Ty Lue inherited LeBron James. Ty Lue is now inheriting at least Kawhi Leonard, who I believe we can all kind of agree is still a top five, if not top five, top 10 talent within the league. He's still been blessed to receive that. Whatever happens inside that organization, let it happen, let it fester, let it do. But again, Ty Lue is still reaping the benefits of, you know, getting a good, decent team. We talk about the Pelicans. Stan Van Gundy. Sorry what he did with the Pistons. Clearly he didn't make it long enough with the Heat because we had to get Pat Riley on down there to finish out the job. And clearly Stan Van Gundy wasn't good enough for Orlando to win the championship either. Stan likes to, I feel like, get a big and build around the big, which is supposed to be like a Zion Williamson. So he's going to need that talent, he can't be part of the player personnel for that. Somebody else going to make those decisions for him. And see how he can really move the needle with Zion. Dwight really did have some good seasons, to be honest with Stan. He just didn't make that same magic happen with Andre Drummond, right? Those are just two different talents, unfortunately. And then the Pacers are going to be the Pacers till they are still the Pacers. Like they don't do anything to me. Whatever they do in the East never makes it to the finals. So unless they are having Rick Smits setting screens for Reggie Miller to come off with Mark Jackson threading the needle, back in those days, the Pacers are nothing to me to get to the finals. So that's it.
Great job, Sheedy. As far as I guess I can start with the Sixers, man. Y'all guys killed it with the Doc Rivers. Y'all said that he was overrated, and ever since then, I've been on the bandwagon with y'all. So I don't think this move does anything for Philly. ESPN, however, believes that they will be a better team than the Brooklyn Nets, and the Miami Heat, and the Toronto Raptors. So shout out to ESPN for once again not knowing what the hell they're talking about. But anyway, let's go into Stan Van Gundy. Sheedy, you hit it right on the point. Stan Van Gundy is somebody, especially in the Dwight Howard days, that he found ways to get Dwight Howard the ball. He found ways to maximize Dwight Howard's talents. That's one thing I can say about him. The con of that is that he's a my way or highway kind of coach. And I think in this kind of NBA climate, when you're trying to build relationships with players, that's not the way to go. You got a Zion Williamson who may or may not come in shape, you know, for next season. So Stan Van Gundy's gonna have to do with that. You know, is he gonna be able to maximize Brandon Ingram's talent and Zion Williams' talent at the same time? I'm not too sure. And you still got Lonzo Ball, who I got a lot of hope in as well. So I'm not sure. If honestly, I don't think this is a good pick. You know, for the namesake, I guess is good, but as far as that team culture go, I don't think Stan Van Gundy is the right coach, and I don't see him lasting 2 years. On to, who is it, Ty Lue? I think Ty Lue is a great coach, especially when you're talking, you know, player development and chemistry, right? So with this team, I'm somebody that still believes you do not trade Kawhi Leonard, you do not trade Paul George. It was a crazy year this year. Don't blow it up. Let those who have it, but you do get pieces around him. You do need an offensive point guard to go with them. You do need a big man that can shoot like a Marc Gasol. You know, when Kawhi was in Mark, you know, we're together, a championship came together. So with Ty Lue, he's going to be real with them to the point where if Paul George is like, nah, I'm that guy. Nah, where's your ring at? You know what I'm saying? Because I got this guy, Kawhi Leonard, that got one. You look at my hand, I got one. So, Paul George, in order for you to be the best you can be, you're going to have to play within the system. And I think Ty Lue is either going – I think Ty Lue is going to do a great job with them. And if not, then I see Paul George leaving the team before Ty Lue.
Well, their bench is probably going to have to go at some point.
Absolutely.
The ones that are allegedly making the comments about Kawhi and Paul George getting the superstar treatment. Because we all know Montrezl Harrell is going to get a payday. He's going to get paid from somebody else. You can't have Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley on the team. Kawhi's already come out saying we need a point guard. So one, if not both of them, will be gone at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what this roster even looks like for Ty Lue. To basically, he's really there just to manage the egos at this point. I really don't see, from an X's and O's standpoint, how he's going to benefit the Clippers. I just think he's just there to manage egos, but we'll see.
I mean, this NBA managing ego is more important than the X's and O's, you know what I'm saying? Especially you got somebody like Kawhi who's won multiple championships already.
True.
Yep. All facts. Not the highest really do enough for me, yeah. But just okay. Okay, they hired Stan Van Gundy. Okay, they hired Doc Rivers. Okay, who they hired?
What's his name? How you spell it?
All right, okay, cool. See you next year. The piggyback on Sheedy's comment, not to compare Doc Rivers to Phil Jackson, but Phil Jackson inherited Michael Jordan. He did inherit Kobe and Shaq as well. So good, even the all-time great coach had to inherit, you know, talent. Greg Popovich inherited Tim Duncan. Now, although he grew, and same thing, Phil Jackson, he, you know, he had Mike and Kobe at a younger age. Tim Duncan was a rookie, you know, they still had to groom the players to be star players. Unlike Doc Rivers, he does inherit players where they're already a finished product. So that'd be the difference with them. But any coach gonna need good players when it boiled down to it. But Doc Rivers has proven to be overrated in crunch moments. He's on the coast that's blown like 3-1 leads two or three times, I want to say. In the playoffs, so
three. It's been three or four.
Yeah, so that's the problem with Doc Rivers. So we'll see him. But I guess he's there to manage egos with Embiid and Simmons. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from him. Apparently, they got Chris Paul on the way with the box draft. So and him and Doc Rivers don't get along. So I don't think that's gonna be a trade they're gonna probably try to pursue. For real.
Hey man, if Doc Rivers and Paul George can make it happen.
That is true.
Chris Paul and Paul
George. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
You're right.
Anything else possible.
Anything is possible.
His former player, Kevin Garnett, once said it. But that's the end of the show, man. Just remember to follow us on Twitter at the starting five, the number five, MEM. Follow the Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies and listen to the other podcasts, Core 4, 3ND, and GBB Live. Remember to follow me at The One P Shark.
I'm about to say, I'm still the free agent target at the Grizzlies to looking for him at _Scully on Twitter.
All right, I'm at the Otter Trevor, still in the corner, but still coming off screens now, so I can do more than just the corner. But I'm at the Otter Trevor. First letter of each word is capitalized, except of, because it's a preposition.
Checking in. Thank y'all for checking in. This is Mr. No Rotel at It's Really Sheedy on Twitter. Make sure you find me, No Rotel.
It's your man Tev Shakir. Make sure y'all follow me, the big man that's eating all the Rotel, because we ain't got to have none for Sheedy.
Okay, y'all. Peace.